Hi, my name's Hannah and I'm an addict.
Hi, Hannah.
I'm very grateful to be here tonight and I'm very grateful to be clean. I'm 3 years and 6 weeks clean. I got clean in Hong Kong. My clean date is the 15th of February 2014. I'm 31. It's my first time attempting to, it's my first time attempting recovery. I feel my life is a miracle. I don't take my recovery for granted. And from my second meeting, I've stayed clean the whole time, touch wood. So I'm really proud of that. I'm so proud of it because I know how hard it is to stay clean, and getting clean has been the most difficult thing I've ever done. So I started using at 13 and I started smoking pot and drinking, and I was at a boarding school in my hometown, which was Reading. I was born in London, but I grew up in Reading, and from the moment I started, it was game on. You know, like for me, it was never really social or socially acceptable. Like the point was always to get absolutely blasted and as quickly as possible. And I was smoking pot with my friends, and I was stealing alcohol from my parents, and I was getting drunk at school. I was getting drunk at Christmas dinners. My school was quite liberal, and we were all pretty naughty, frankly. So it wasn't really like that strange. We were dealing weed to each other at school. I got suspended from school when I was 14 for smoking weed. So I quickly progressed into Class A's, and once again it was, you know, it was like all of them and as much as I could do, and inappropriate, you know, being super aggressive when I was drunk and getting high and taking baths in people's houses who I didn't know, or like if I'd go to a party, like I used to like to like go off secretly and like run a bubble bath in their house and like go in that, you know. And I thought it was really cool and poetic, and I thought I was like, my one of my wishes was, I was like, all I want to be is like crazy and beautiful and like. So I don't know why I wanted that, but like, anyway, that was my goal, life goal. So I was reading a lot of like Elizabeth Wurtzel and Virginia Woolf as well. And so I was like idealizing these like women with mental problems, and yeah, you can see where that's going. Anyway, so I always thought I was too smart to be an addict. Like I had a lot of friends who were taking heroin, and I turned my nose up at them. I thought like, well, I'll never do that. I'm way too smart to be a junkie. Like I know how to control this. So, you know, that was always like how I, through my whole 15 years of using, that was my premise, that I knew what I was doing, that I had it under control, that even though I was like abusing all kinds of drugs behaving, well, it was always just chaos, you know, like, I did many geographics, I've lived all over the world, I left England when I was 18. I went to Bangkok. I traveled around Asia. I stopped using drugs. I was just mainly drinking. I lived in Barcelona. I was modeling. I was doing tons of MDMA and whatever. I was turning up high for shoots. I destroyed my career. I moved back to London. I worked in the art world. I moved. Then I moved to Hong Kong when I was 26, and I was only doing coke and drinking, right? So I thought that's like normal and pretty good actually, because it's not speed and ketamine and MDMA and like ecstasy and acid. So we're just at festivals or sometimes on the weekend, but like generally not. So like, I thought I could manage it, and I thought, like, I always had this idea that I had two separate things going on. I had my work and I had my drug use, and as long as they didn't mix, everything was fine. Like, and I was very ambitious, so quite often, like, when I was in the art world, they did, you know, I managed to keep my jobs, and I mean, of course, I switched gallery quite a lot, but like, I managed generally to, I thought it was manageable, you know. But anyway, I got divorced young. I went to Hong Kong, and I was just a mess. And I'm so grateful that this happened now, because I really view it as a gift. I think if this hadn't happened, like, it would have taken me many, many years to get clean, or maybe I wouldn't have ever managed it, you know. So I went to Hong Kong, and that was in 2012, and it was just a very quick downward spiral. And Hong Kong is really crazy. There's lots of drugs, there's lots of money, there's lots of men, there's lots of boats, there's lots of, like, free stuff for girls, and you feel so far away, like, you're an expat brat, so I was entitled, I was, like, going out every night, and so was everybody else, and it's like this kind of, we're so far away, nothing really matters, we can do what we want, and we all had this attitude, and but the thing is that maybe those other people weren't addicts, right? And I was, and I was also messed up in my head quite significantly by then. So my solution that had always worked for me, of blocking all my emotions and cutting off my feelings with drugs, it stopped working at this time. And so the more I tried to push everything away with the drugs, it just, the more it came out. So I was now, like, going out in public and vomiting my emotions over everybody, and being high and being wasted, and, like, getting a reputation in Hong Kong, and you know, bringing my mixing business with pleasure, you know, and it stopped being so pleasurable, and it stopped being good business as well. And people at the gallery started to be like, what the fuck? And I was going out with clients. I was like, I remember I was like gyrating with a Goldman Sachs banker that I was trying to sell a painting to, who was married. And also then we started to like have a kind of mini affair. And this Puerto Rican guy, fuck you. And like, it was like 5 a.m. on like a Tuesday, and I was like grinding on this, I don't know, some kind of carousel in this dirty nightclub called Volta. And like, you know, I didn't think there was anything wrong with that. And I remember like expensing the bar tab and thinking like, oh, well, this is business. I'm just entertaining clients, right? Like, this is what people do. They just take their clients out. But, you know, that stuff kind of started happening all the time. And I didn't sell any paintings, and I was there for 6 months. I was so annoyed about that. Like, not even one, you know? Fuck. Thank you. And anyway, so by the end, it wasn't fun. I was broke. I got fired. My relationship with my family was really, really, really bad. I came home for Christmas, and I remember I just was in London. I didn't want to see them. I was like hiding out in a friend's apartment and watching Netflix while he was out of town. And when I showed up for Christmas Day, I was like, I look in the photos now, and I was kind of evil. My face had this sort of evil, sharp, pointed, like, glint. And I remember I was so freaking paranoid and like aggressive. And I remember like shouting at my dad, who bought me a tablet, and I said like that I was so offended by this gift. It doesn't even really make sense. But I wasn't in a good space, and so I went back to Hong Kong. Things got really shit. I was living in this horrible apartment in the red light district of Wan Chai. No money, you know, cockroaches, Filipina neighbors, hookers, neighbors, like. I don't know how I ended up there, but it was horrible. And So I got clean, and I went to AA actually, because in Hong Kong there's AA, and AA is quite small, and I just threw myself into it. You know, I knew I had nowhere else to go. I knew that my back was against the wall. I knew if I carried on, I would die. It wasn't fun anymore. I was 28. I didn't want to be in bars anymore. I wanted more from my life. I wanted love. I wanted a serious relationship. I wanted respect, self-respect. I wanted, not to be so paranoid. And I wanted to be able to work again, because by that time I couldn't even work. Like, my mind was so destroyed. And I went from 1 minute thinking, oh, I've got bipolar. And then, I'm so fucking depressed, I can't get out of bed. And I wanted not to live in that apartment as well, obviously. So I just did everything they told me to do. You know, I got a sponsor within 3 days. I went to 90 meetings in 90 days. I did more, probably. I worked the steps. I started doing service. I chaired meetings. I shared honestly. I've always shared honestly, you know, because I think, what's the point of not, right? I'm not here to do a show. I'm not here to make you like me. I never really cared about that, actually. When I joined, I thought, I don't really like any of you. I don't really care if you like me. I want to get clean. Actually, I think you're losers. So I'm just going to, say what I think. And if it provokes you, then, fuck off, basically. And and that was, my attitude. And, you know, I'm clean, right? I'm, over 3 years clean. And I've heard people have come up to me and said, oh, Hannah, I really admire your honesty. And I think, well, if I can't be honest here, where can I be honest, you know? And the skills I've learned here I've taken out into the world. I used to be so shy that I couldn't, in a room full of people, if it was, you know, you go around and you have to say your name, and then it would be I would my turn to say my name, and I would be so embarrassed that people are looking at me that I would be red. And I just hated myself. Honestly, I just hated myself. I thought the only thing I have is the way I look, and so I used to try to make sure that I looked perfect, because I felt like there was nothing inside. And so if I didn't look perfect, I felt like there's no point. And now, and I had that attitude with guys. I felt like they only like me for how I look, and so I felt like a kind of shell, actually, at the end. I felt like I had lived for 100 years, and I felt like I've seen too much, and I just was awful. And now I don't feel like that, you know? I have things in my basket other than the way that I look. I think I've given recovery the most I've ever given anything, honestly. I don't mean to sound pretentious, but I really think that we are the chosen few, you know? I don't know why I'm clean and other people have died. I don't know that. I have friends who've died from this. You know, my friend in the program told me about a guy who died the other day in the meetings, that I always saw him, and he always got white key rings, and I used to feel annoyed with him. And I don't know, and I was like, why can't he fucking just get clean, you know? I forget that this isn't a social club. I really do. And when I hear that someone's died, I'm like, it really shocks me. And I don't know why I'm clean. I don't know why I'm here. But I do think that now I am clean, I must stay clean, you know? Because I think if I go out and use, I won't come back, honestly. And I would love to use again. I would. Who wouldn't, right? I'm an addict. That's what we like to do. We like to get high and be outrageous and be the fucking star. And everyone is our audience. And, don't we? maybe that's just me. but, you know, I love NA. I love NA. It has saved my life. Slowly but surely, I'm rebuilding things. I'm rebuilding the relationship. I'm rebuilding the relationship with my brother, and that means so much to me. And And I'm getting to know myself as a woman. Like, I never really knew who I was. I never knew what I liked. I didn't. And now I'm getting to know myself, and I like myself. I realize that I really love music, and that I have a great drum and bass collection from when I was 17, and like, that's fucking cool, you know? And I love films, and I love laughing, and all my friends make me laugh. And at the end, you know, I wasn't laughing. I wasn't fucking laughing. I couldn't even really, I couldn't cry and I couldn't laugh. And now I can cry, and I like to cry. And yeah, I'm just grateful to be here. It's a huge honor to share my story here in London, like in this meeting. I love this meeting. And I'm from London, so it feels like a kind of full circle. So thank you so much for letting me share, and thank you for my recovery.
Thank you.